The Paddy Power Half Hour on Off the Ball
with Paddy Power, the greatest football partnership since Jeff and Heskey.
Off the Ball and OTB Sports Radio on this Friday show. We're looking forward to Sunday's Carabao Cup final, where Man City look to successfully defend their title against Aston Villa. It could be a pretty important weekend as well in the race for Europe, particularly with the games coming up this Sunday, with many of the teams still in the chase for what could be the top five positions qualifying for the Champions League. We'll also look forward to the big game in the League of Ireland coming up tonight as well, where the top two from last year, Lockhorns, that is Shamrock Rovers, the FAI Cup winners, up against the defending champions Dundalk. To look forward to all the action this weekend on the Paddy Power Half Hour, I am joined by Phil Egan and also by Enda Call. Gentlemen, good afternoon to you.
Hey, Will.
Don't forget, we will be discussing gambling odds over the next half hour or so, and for more information on responsible gambling, check out dunlewy.net. We'll kick things off, lads, by looking at the Carabao Cup final, because I guess, Phil, this is a welcome distraction for Aston Villa given their battles against the drop in the Premier League, and they get to go to Wembley for a cup final where they may have more fans than Man City based on the ticket sales so far.
Yeah, and that might be the only place where they outdo Manchester City. And I know what you mean about the distraction, but the worry is, think back to the game at Villa Park earlier in the season where they got pummeled 6-1. If that was to happen again on Sunday, what effect would it have on Villa for the rest of the season? They're in a relegation scrap. Now, on the other foot, if they were to win, that could be huge. Obviously, they get silverware, but the confidence it would give them going into the rest of the season. But City are firm favourites. You think that they left Aguero on the bench against Real Madrid. Sterling will be back. You'd imagine he's going to start. And they'll be absolutely buzzing after that performance in Madrid. Because that, I think a few weeks ago, most people were kind of leaning towards Real Madrid. But City, I don't even think it's an act of defiance because they've got the European ban. I think they just want to win the Champions League because they haven't won it. And it's nothing to do with the European ban. And I suppose the interesting thing is, if they do win it, that they won't be in it next season to defend it. Not as things stand, but I would fear for Aston Villa unless Jack Grealish has the game of his life. Now, he's played brilliantly this season, but I'm talking Roy the Rover stuff, where he beats six players Ricky Villa style for Spurs in the 81.
Does that also mean the City have to have an off day as well?
They do, and Laporte's injured. But City are just going to, I think they're just going to be so confident for this one. They're going for three in a row. Like the League Cup, they usually win this, get the first bit of silverware out of the way and try and pick up a bit more. But it's hard to make a case for Villa.
And Man City are cup collectors in recent seasons.
They are. What you don't want to happen for this fixture is what happened in the FA Cup final last year against Watford.
Oh, yeah.
Where it was just a dead rubber by the 35th minute or so. Yeah. And you want to have some sort of entertainment game. Aston Villa are going to have to pick it up from their league form of late. They've lost three in a row now. Really bad against Southampton last week. So they just need to get their heads down, focus on this. This is a big game for them. Probably the biggest game they're going to have over the next year and a half or so, disregarding the fact that they might be in a relegation battle. This is a chance for them to win silverware, and they're going to have to come out on top. Like Phil was saying, Jack Grealish, he's going to have to pull something out of the bag. He's been dragging them through this season so far. If he can drag them to a silverware of some sort, then it'll be a job done for him this year. He's proven himself as a Premier League star at this stage. It's going to be a bittersweet moment for Aston Villa if they can somehow manage to win this and then get relegated. So it's hard to know where they're going to rank.
What would you take?
Reminds me of their city rivals, Birmingham.
But remember, Wigan did it. They won the FA Cup and they went down. But Villa's obviously a far bigger club. But what would Villa rather? Win the League Cup on Sunday or stay in the Premier League? Because if they stay in the Premier League, obviously, yeah, they can build on that. They have a better chance of holding on to Jack Grealish.
To play devil's advocate, though, no guarantee you get back into a cup final again.
That's true, but
in the foreseeable.
Well, for Dean Smith, it'll be seen, even if he loses this game, if they stay in the Premier League and get to a Carabao Cup final, then that's a successful season.
Yeah.
And he'll definitely keep his job at the end of the season if that's the case. If they get relegated and they lose this game, it's hard to know where his future would lie then. and where Aston Villa would hold him in terms of the job he's done this year.
Phil, we talked about Man City last week in terms of they're one of the real favourites to win the Champions League. I think they were second favourites before the game against Real Madrid. Madrid were inside the top five in the betting as well, which probably reflects the way the market is looking at that fixture. Whoever comes through is probably going to be well placed. City are extremely well placed now to qualify.
Yeah, and I mentioned the Laporte injury. I wonder how serious that's going to be, and is that something that could stop them going further in the competition? They're in the box seat to get past Real Madrid. The two away goals, Sergio Ramos suspended, Sterling will be back. Sterling made a huge difference when he came on because you could see what Guardiola was trying to do in terms of tactics. As good as Real are at the back in terms of personnel, the weakness was Carvajal, and that's where they went. That's why Gabriel Jesus was playing out on the left when Sterling came on. That's who he won the penalty off. So you'd imagine that's going to be their game plan again on the return leg, which is on St. Patrick's Day. So they negotiate Real Madrid. We don't know who they're going to get. There's not many teams that could beat them over two legs. I think Bayern Munich and Manchester City would be a tasty tie. If Liverpool can overcome Atletico, Liverpool will fancy their chances against City over two legs because they have the firepower. Like, if you think back to the game the other night, there was a stage for about 5 or 10 minutes where it looked like Real were going to get a second goal and go 2-0 up, and you're thinking, here we go again for City. But that change, Sterling coming on, obviously De Bruyne was immense on the night, and Gabriel Jesus got the goal that his performance deserved. So they're definitely in the conversation, but what has always let them down is they just concede goals in the really big ties, and I still think that could be an issue for them.
Well, that's the thing that Damien Delaney was saying when he was in with us on the football show during the City game, was he was, after City scored the first goal, he was saying that people will now peg this as a Pep Guardiola masterminded tactical genius performance from City, but it wasn't. They set up to contain Real Madrid, which they did relatively well, but they were losing the game until obviously they got the equaliser, but they Real Madrid dominated possession. Real Madrid put Man City under severe pressure up front. And if you're looking at that game before they swung it around, it would have been, it's one of those situations where if he wins it, he's a tactical genius. If he loses it, he got it wrong.
He overthinks it again.
So really, Man City got a little bit of luck against Real Madrid. I don't think they're the better side in that game. I don't think they're going to be the better side overall performance-wise in the two games, but they might. That's the nature of the Champions League knockout. You don't have to be the better side. You just need to get the result. And maybe that's what Pep Guardiola is starting to learn now with this City side, that going forward, it doesn't matter how well you play. If you get the results, that's what matters in the Champions League.
Have the Madrid press written their team off a bit too quickly here, Phil? Because there was a lot of angry headlines, and even tears on the TV programmes, and the end of an era is what was being claimed after the game, and this is all building up to a huge game for them on Sunday evening against Barcelona in the Clásico, which Madrid need to win as well.
Yeah, and you think of what's gone on at Barcelona, and they've changed manager and how out of form they are. They're still 2 points ahead of Real Madrid, and if they win, yeah, it could be lights out for Real Madrid in terms of La Liga. And in terms of the Manchester City game, it's hard to see Real Madrid going to the Etihad and keeping Man City out. So have Real Madrid got the ability to score two goals?
Not with their finishing midweek.
No. So that's why you'd have to sit. And the only thing is, City will probably approach it a bit differently at home. They might think, you know, let's play more on the front foot, and it might create more space. But it's just Benzema, as good as he had started in the season, he's not scoring goals anymore. Mm-hmm. Gareth Bale came on. Gareth Bale doesn't beat players anymore the way he used to. He still has the capability of maybe unleashing one from 30 yards and into the top corner, but Hazard's injured. You know, they had decent control in midfield. Vinicius Jr., I thought, was...
He's very exciting.
He's a little bit raw still, but definitely one to keep an eye on for the future.
And it's crazy to think, to look at that Real Madrid side, when you look at the who was in that side when they were winning the Champions League under Zidane, it's nearly 4 or 5 years ago. They still have Modric starting, they still have Sergio Ramos starting, Benzema is still getting into the team. Isco's still there. Bale is still there. The likes of Hazard, Vinicius Jr., and the two fullbacks, they're and Courtois and Nets, they haven't changed the side much at all. And really and truly, this side should be done and dusted. It was done and dusted about a year and a half ago, and with the firepower Real Madrid have in terms of money, they just haven't seemed to manage to build this squad up to what it should be.
Mm. Yeah, but they took a punt on Luka Jovic because of what he did in the Bundesliga last season, but he's not even getting a game.
Yeah.
He came off the bench when they went 2-1 down the other night. So I know it's fairly obvious, but if you're losing Cristiano Ronaldo, you're going to lose a lot of goals, and they just haven't been able to replace. And it's
Hazard's injuries haven't helped either.
Yeah.
But also, it's bizarre to think that Hazard was seen as the replacement for Ronaldo. He's a completely different player.
Yeah, I don't think he was seen as a replacement. I think he was just brought in because of his quality. He's going to score you goals. He's going to set up goals. You just can't replace Ronaldo.
You can't replace 50 goals a year.
No.
With one player. You just can't do that.
If you can get two players that can share those goals between them, yeah. But they just haven't even got that.
In terms of this Sunday then, I guess none of the three of us are going to go against Man City to win then.
No, I fancy Man City to win this handily enough.
Yeah, and I think they will. And you think back to the year they beat Sunderland in a final, a League Cup final, Sunderland scored first. If this is going to be a really interesting game, we need Villa to score first.
And you're going for an easy enough City win then?
Yeah, I'm just hoping for a better performance than Watford provided last season from Aston Villa. I just hope it's an actual contest instead of a dead rubber final.
Well, it'll be no contest if Villa played like they did in the league earlier this season. In terms of our special odds from Paddy Power, one of them we have here, guys, is Jack Grealish to be fouled more than 5 times in the game. Now, assuming, Phil, that Aston Villa are going to try and get the ball to Jack Grealish as often as possible, City like to tactically foul.
Yeah, and he is the most fouled player in the league, so that's a good shout. If you think back to the game at the Etihad, which City won 3-0, it was nil all at half-time. And Villa actually had moments in that game where I've always thought to beat City, you need players that can carry the ball and you don't have to rely all the time on passing your way out of trouble. You just have players that can get away from City players. But if they do, more often than not, they're fouled. Now, if Fernandinho is playing in central defence, that takes away one of the best tactical foulers in the City team, because obviously he's not going to foul inside his own penalty area. But I think the only chance is if Jack Grealish has the game of his life. That's or else Villa can sneak something from a set piece. They have a little bit of height there, but they've the worst defence in the Premier League, and they're playing against the best attack in the Premier League. So, as I said, even the most optimistic Villa fan, if they can make a case for Villa to win, I'd like to hear it.
We'll give Declan Pearce and Paul McGrath a shout. What do you think, Grealish to be fouled more than 5 times?
Yeah, I reckon so. He's managed to evolve into this kind of player that he knows when to hold it and he knows when to get the ball away. And if he can see a player coming into his back, he holds on to that ball and he draws the foul very often, and he's quite good at that, so I reckon that's a good chance.
Okay, let's look forward then to the Premier League games for this week, and we start off, lads, with tonight. And again, one of our Paddy Power specials here is on what the Leicester fans might be doing during the game. Can we see the Leicester fans at Carrow Road tonight chanting about Man City's Champions League ban?
Would they?
I don't know. But it's one of our special odds.
I don't think Leicester care.
You don't think they've built up a rivalry over these last couple of games then?
I don't think so.
All right, in terms of on the field then, what are you looking here? And I mean, on the face of it, this is a very routine Leicester victory. They just keep their little buffer inside the Champions League places, and Norwich continue to slide towards the Championship. Is that the narrative?
Pretty much. Yeah. I don't know what else to add to this. In fairness, like, it's Norwich they're gone down. They've accepted their fate a long time ago, and it's really just about Leicester ticking away as much as they can until the end of the season and making sure they finish in that third place spot. They're not going to surpass Man City at this stage. It's unlikely that Chelsea are going to catch them at this stage. So it's really just about securing themselves in the Champions League, trying to maintain that squad and probably not picking up any injuries. If Brendan Rodgers wanted to rest a few players in this game, I think he'd be safe enough.
Phil, Leicester have had a few difficult fixtures, but these are the games you pick up the 3 points in and move on.
You say that, but they drew with Norwich at the King Power earlier, and that was a sign that maybe the run was coming to an end. Obviously, then they lost back-to-back games when they played City and Liverpool, and they had chances last week. Jamie Vardy hasn't scored in the league since the City game before or at the end of the year.
Just after Christmas.
You know, when he went through last week, you thought, right, that's going in the back of the net, hits the post. But this actually will probably suit Leicester because Norwich will probably come at them a bit. And I think Norwich realised before the start of the season they have a certain model, they're going to stick to it, they're not going to try and spend a load of money to stay in the Premier League. What they'll end up doing actually in the Championship next season is they'll spend more money in the Championship than they did this season in the Premier League. They'll get back up if they can keep most of that squad together and Daniel Farke. And then when they come up the following season, they're in a better position, they're more equipped to sustain Premier League football.
What is it, 17, 18 million in parachute?
Yeah,
funds.
Yeah. Burnley did the exact same thing with Sean Dyche. They didn't panic. They went down, and they haven't been relegated since. And they've become a mainstay in the Premier League ever since.
So and you imagine Norwich should be able to retain quite a few of them.
Yeah, most of them. Yeah, I because as good as Pukki has been,
I can't see anyone.
Can you imagine? Can you see any other Premier League clubs really having a look at him? He just seems to. It works for him at Norwich.
Todd Cantwell is probably the only one that you'd be thinking. He's a young English player who you can see a real talent in.
Yeah.
And he might suit a lower level Premier League side at this stage in his career.
He's a model player for Bournemouth if they stay up.
almost like Jack Grealish. Although, obviously, Jack Grealish went down and played for Aston Villa in the Championship. Yeah. But if Cantwell wanted to play in the Premier League, he will find a side that will be willing to pay for him, I'd say.
And from a purely greedy point of view, Adam Eden might get more football time in the Championship as opposed to in the Premier League. Could be a good place for him to cut his teeth. We might just skip forward to Sunday, lads, because there's a lot on the line in terms of the European battle at the moment, in that you can almost throw a blanket over the teams from 10th place up to 5th at the moment in terms of European qualification. And we're looking at teams who are out this weekend on the back of their matches in Europe as well. Starting with Everton against Manchester United, Phil. United obviously had a fantastic result in the Europa League last night, really put Club Brugge to the sword, and we're maybe starting to see Bruno Fernandes and why it was so important for them to get him in last month.
Yeah, I know he scored, and you can say it was just a penalty, but if you look at the Ighalo goal, the ball from Fernandes to Mata is why he was brought in. Now, I think we need to put this into perspective a bit. Brugge were down to 10 men, and all the goals came after that, including the Fernandes penalty. So as impressive as it is, because you can only beat what's in front of you, Bruges are playing with one man less. It's at Old Trafford. You'd expect them to win. This is a really good indication of exactly where United are, because they got pummeled 4-0 at Goodison Park last season. Everton are on the up under Ancelotti. Should have got something out of Arsenal last weekend. Had the chances. Calvert-Lewin, as good as he's been, missed a really good chance to make it 3-3. Richarlison and Calvert-Lewin, though, is an exciting partnership up front. So the only concern really for Everton at the moment, their midfield is just not really fit for purpose.
Might get a bit stronger now that Gomez is coming back in.
He is, but they still, you look at who they've got in midfield. So they've got the likes of Gomez, Schneiderlin, Fabian Delph,
Sigurdsson.
There's no real. They're definitely missing Idrissa Gueye from when they lost him to PSG, because he just had that. Just so combative in midfield, had the energy.
It's an area they spent a lot of money in, but perhaps didn't spend the most balanced money.
No, and that's
four number 10s in that midfield.
Yeah, but also they need something better in the engine room as well. And look, that's something Ancelotti can do. But it, you know, I think some Everton fans are probably still pinching themselves that they got somebody of the calibre of Ancelotti, and he seems to have really taken to the role and what it means to be the manager of Everton, because they demand a certain way of playing. They demand that the players give 100%, and that's what they're getting now. And if they lose, they are going to lose a few more games between now and the end of the season, but if they lose games, they want at least the teams that beat them that they had to work for the win. And Arsenal certainly had to do it last week.
And I suppose in terms of the race, and Everton, despite the setback of last week, are still very much in contention to qualify, I think, for the Europa League spots, because we almost have to assume if Man City are going to win on Sunday, both European places come down one more place in the league. Aston Villa will get one if they were to win the Carabao Cup. But if that were to happen, given Man City's impending European ban as things stand, Everton have a lot to play for over the next 10 games still. I know Seamus Coleman was saying a few weeks ago that getting into the Europa League is seen as very important for them.
Yeah, definitely. And if they want to develop under Ancelotti, they're going to have to get European football. This is going to be a difficult one for them. I know they have been in a good run of form of late under Ancelotti, but in the last couple of games, they only have, they've won two of their last eight. Three of those games, that's not in the league, that's all fixtures. So you're looking at a loss to Liverpool, Man City and Arsenal. So three teams that they need to get some sort of results against, and then they got a draw against West Ham, draw against Watford. So they have been inconsistent still, and with the players they have in the pitch, they are going to be inconsistent. I know Phil highlighted their midfield, but also that front line of Richarlison and Calvert-Lewin, they're not at the stage yet in their careers where they're going to be getting a goal every game. It's Calvert-Lewin especially has been, I think this is the first season he's actually scored a goal in successive games. So he just needs to develop a little bit further and become that main man. He seems to be, at least since Duncan Ferguson took over, he's grasped that centre forward role and finally made it his. So it's time for him to step up. And if Everton are too qualified for the Europa League, at least he's going to need to start banging in the goals now until the end of the season.
And we talk about Manchester United turning corners. They probably turned more corners than Lewis Hamilton this season, but the last seven games have been pretty positive for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's side. Five wins in their last seven, starting to score goals fairly freely again. Can they be optimistic for the rest of the season now?
I think so. What's working in United's favour is not only Bruno Fernandes coming in and adding a little bit of X factor, as Ole Gunnar Solskjaer said, but they're now starting to get their strongest squad back on the pitch. Players coming back from injury. This is probably the strongest squad they've had since the start of the season, with Scott McTominay coming back, with Fernandes coming into the side. I know they're missing Rashford, but Martial's starting to step up a little bit with goals, but he won't be out for too long.
No.
You wouldn't think so. So you have a Gallo coming in. So they have replacements for these players coming in. Fred's in flying form. So you're thinking this is going to be a big push for United. If you think about where they came from in mid-season, where they're on that awful run of form, they couldn't get three wins in a row. Now they have, I think it's five wins out of eight games. They've only conceded one goal or two goals in that run of form. They scored 18. That's the kind of form you need at this stage of the season if you're pushing for Europe. And the fact that the fifth place opened up for Champions League is massive for them, because if they don't have enough to get to Chelsea, I do think they will have enough to get that fifth spot.
Phil, call it then. Goodison Park this Sunday.
I actually think Everton will get something from this game, but United have Everton obviously this weekend, then they've the Manchester derby, they've got Spurs as well, but then after that the fixtures are a little bit easier on the eye for them. Now that has been an issue for them, but they've a really good chance of winning the Europa League. You look at some of the teams left, and
especially now that Ajax are gone,
yeah,
after,
yeah,
a taffy knock.
Inter Milan are probably their biggest threat at,
yeah,
this stage.
Maybe Wolves.
Wolves as well.
We'll see how the draw goes in a few minutes' time. Speaking of Wolves, our other live game on Off the Ball this coming weekend. Crucial one in terms of the race for Europe for them and Spurs as well, because Spurs need to get their act back together in the Premier League, Phil, don't they? Because they can't just seem to get a string of results, and we saw last weekend again more drop points for them.
Yeah, and I mentioned that they've got that game against United coming up, which will be crucial. And I think they lost to Chelsea last weekend, and although it was 2-1, I think that scoreline flattered Spurs, and you know, they were very lucky that they didn't have Lo Celso sent off. But for all the excuses Mourinho's making, and look, he's got a point, he's missing Harry Kane, who gets injured most seasons, but then someone else steps up, like Heung-min Son, but he's gone now as well. So you can see why they're not going to score as many goals. But it's funny just how quickly things have changed. Mourinho came in, he's a new man, and now he's already saying bring on the 1st of July when the transfer window opens.
This is season 3 Mourinho a few months in.
Yeah, and like I firmly believe, and I thought even when he was appointed, that because he was appointed during the season, which rarely happens, I think it happened once before in his career.
Went back to Chelsea mid-season.
I think it was Porto.
Oh, Porto, yeah.
But the fact that he came in, I was thinking, right, the start of next season, that is the one season where Mourinho is either going to make or break at Spurs. And if it goes well, he'll start the next season, but if it goes badly, he might not even see out the season. And you know, there's a reason he ended up at Spurs. Spurs obviously probably, Daniel Levy probably thought, like the thoughts of being able to attract Mourinho, but there wasn't many other clubs that play in the Champions League that Mourinho could manage, because his stock has fallen a little bit. He's shown that in certain games he's got results, like the Man City result gave Liverpool a few problems. But that's not sustainable if you want to start challenging for major honours. Think back to the start of the season. Everyone thought City and Liverpool and Spurs would be the closest team to them. That's not happening.
And to interrupt, just on the Europa League, United have been drawn against LASK from Austria.
Okay. Yeah, that's
Rangers
actually...
Rangers have been drawn against Bayer Leverkusen.
Okay. Yeah, LASK are top of the Austrian league. So they're actually ahead of Salzburg, who they beat a few weeks ago. I know Salzburg have lost their... They're two of their best players in Haaland and Minamino, but LASK are unfashionable, but I've seen them play a few times this season and they're actually quite effective. So United's problem is going to be away from home in the Europa League. That, you know, if they are playing the home leg first and they have to go away from home and get results, that might be the only issue for them. But so I think they've got a great chance of winning this whole tournament.
Just in terms of Spurs, and we have seen them struggle for goals. Dele Alli now potentially facing a suspension. He's fallen out of favour with his manager, perhaps with the way he reacted in the Champions League game against Leipzig as well. But I can't help but think that Dele Alli is probably going to be needed if Spurs are going to get goals over the next few weeks.
Yeah, it's hard to see what kind of formation they're going to play. It's for they're very much set up. If you remember the Spurs side the year after they sold Gareth Bale, they had all of the same type of player but no real centre man up front. Harry Kane came in and solved that problem. They have that problem now again, whereby they have the likes of Lamella, Bergwijn, Lucas Moura and Dele Alli all do similar enough roles, but none of them are that centre point up front. And Mourinho pinpointed that last week against Chelsea, where he said that if they want to go long, the opponent just needs to know that they have nobody to hold the ball up, so they just drop back. And if they want to play the ball through the channels, the opponent just needs to press up and they won't have anyone to hit up front with a long ball. So that is the centre issue with Spurs at the minute. They do have a centre forward on their bench that they're not playing. I don't see what the harm is.
Not even on the bench.
Well, not on the squad. I really don't want to go into a discussion about whether Troy Parrott should be in the squad or not. But if you have a centre forward on your team and you're refusing to play him or even give him a chance, then that's your own problem. And Spurs are going to struggle until they get a centre forward that can hold up the ball for them, if that's what Mourinho wants to do, or Mourinho needs to change his tactics. That's so what he needs to do.
Can Wolves go get some points?
Yeah, they were very unlucky in the game at Molineux. Spurs, Vertonghen scored a very late winner, and it was a game Wolves should have won. And
they're the first team to win at the new Spurs stadium as well.
Yeah, and that was a phase where Spurs were dropping a lot of points in the Premier League because they were still in the Champions League. And Wolves were in action last night, and you hear a lot about Thursday, Sunday, and it's a tough turnaround, and they were obviously in Spain last night, but I can remember them playing a game in Europe earlier in the season and then they went to the Etihad and won 2-0. So fatigue doesn't seem to be an issue for Wolves, because Nuno Espirito Santo picks pretty much the same team all the time, and here they are in 8th place. They actually go ahead of Spurs if they beat them. Yeah. So that's a huge
incentive for victory.
Yeah, they were able to rest players during the week as well because of that 4-0 win in the first leg. They had Jimenez, Pedronetto, Roman Saiz, and Ruben Neves. Ruben Neves wasn't even in the squad for them. But none of those started the game. So they've the main players they had on the bench. Plus, the last time, the only thing you can say about this is the last time they were in a European game during the week, they came back and they lost to Spurs 2-1. So it's hard to know where. I think Wolves are in better form this time than they were when they were playing Besiktas in the middle of the week. So I think Wolves can get a good result here.
Jumping around the rest of the fixtures then, Phil, the bitter rivalry game tomorrow between Crystal Palace and Brighton.
Yeah, I thought Brighton would get something out of Sheffield United last week. They did. It's funny watching Brighton. They're starting to revert back to Chris Hughton Brighton. Mm. Now, they try and play the ball out from the back, but because the stakes are high. So Graham Parler, he obviously wants to play a certain way, but you can see that Glenn Murray's come back in. They need points. There's no point in them losing games and everyone's saying they played great, they played lovely football, lovely expansive football, but they didn't win. So they just need to get points on the board. This is a game that, I don't know why it's a derby. Well, we do. We know the story behind it, but it's a rivalry that was born in the 70s and 80s, and it's continued. But regardless of who they're playing, they need points, Brighton, because they're right then in the thick of it. So they're 4 points above the relegation zone. Or sorry, two. No, four. 4 points above the relegation zone, and one win gives them a 7-point buffer, depending on obviously how West Ham do against Southampton tomorrow. So it is it's a crucial one. Aaron Connolly got a bit of game time last week off the bench, but hasn't really got that much in recent weeks. And Palace don't score many goals, but they don't concede that many, so I'd say this is a bit of a draw written all over it.
And just keeping an eye on the Europa.
Yeah, I have the rest of the draws here if you want them. Inter Milan have Getafe, Sevilla come up against Roma. We have United against LASK, as I said. Wolfsburg play Shakhtar Donetsk, Rangers against Bayern Leverkusen, Olympiacos are at home to Wolves, and we have Eintracht Frankfurt or Salzburg against Basel, and Copenhagen against the Turkish side.
They're top of the Turkish league.
We didn't get Wolfsburg against Wolves then, unfortunately.
No.
Could have had the battle of the Wolves.
So Wolves and Olympiacos, that's a tough one for them.
And we spoke about Chelsea a few times. They're in action tomorrow against Bournemouth away from home. Chelsea, obviously, that's a crucial victory that they picked up against Spurs last weekend. If they pick up another 3 points here, it probably eases the pressure a little bit in the race for the top four, but they're coming off the back of a horrific result against Bayern Munich midweek.
They are, and they're going to need to pick up 3 points here. If they don't, United, I think they play United in maybe the second last or third last game of the season. I could be wrong there, but definitely United have a chance to overtake Chelsea if they go level on points with them this weekend come the end of the season. So it's an important one to have Tammy Abraham back. I would expect him to come back into the game. Bournemouth, I know the result looked bad last week, but they were actually quite good and they were very unlucky with two goals. The Smith one that came off his shoulder, Bournemouth went up and scored and then it was called back for a penalty. I'm not saying it was VAR's problem, but I don't think a shoulder when your arm is like this should be ruled as a handball for a penalty. So they're very unlucky with that. That seemed to swing the game in Bournemouth's favour, or Burnley's favour, sorry. So it's not looking good for Bournemouth at the minute. This is a game that Bournemouth need to win to stay out of that relegation zone, get a bit of form going. But likewise, Chelsea need to win this as well. So it's going to be, I expect there to be goals anyway, because Bournemouth are so bad at the back. Chelsea are good going forward, but can be got at as well. So I would say Chelsea just have enough to get past Bournemouth this weekend. So it's going to be high scoring out
there. Chelsea seem to prefer to be on the road as well. Phil, to give you the shout, in the last Premier League game we're looking at then, Watford against Liverpool. Watford would want the game plan they put at Anfield in Pearson's first game in charge, but things have been a bit more difficult in recent weeks for them.
Yeah, they've missed Sarr big time, and he came back against United last week. He came off the bench, so you would imagine he's going to start, and this could be a sticky one for Liverpool. Just have to be patient. I think back to obviously the game at Anfield where Liverpool had to ride their luck. Watford
just weren't clinical enough. I know Troy Deeney played that day, but he was only just back, so he'd be a bit sharper. And I suppose for Liverpool, it's a chance to break City's record. They've equaled it of the 18 consecutive league wins, a chance to win 19. And for Liverpool, it's just, they know they need four more wins. You know, that might even change depending on how City get on in the next few weeks. So they just want to get this wrapped up as quick as they can. And I think Watford will try and frustrate them, sit in, use Deulofeu and Sarr if he plays on the break. They also have the option of Deeney if they want to go direct. So I wouldn't be surprised if Liverpool have to kind of wait till the second half, until the game opens up. But like we saw the other night, they just get things done.
Okay, we're into injury time on this one, lads.
Chelsea have Liverpool's second last game in the season.
So right.
That's where I'm thinking they could, if that.
I was just saying, they played United a couple of weeks ago.
If they go into that game level on points with United, two games left, you'd fancy United to finish in fourth ahead of them.
Sure, Liverpool might win that game, you know?
We'll ask you both to give us a prediction then on the big game in the League of Ireland this weekend. Premier Division tonight, Rovers against Dundalk. Both teams starting the season well, maybe unlike last season where Dundalk were slow starters, but Rovers roaring into the start of the season. Graham Burke scoring 5 last weekend. Do you make them favourites against Dundalk tonight?
It's going to be a tight one. Graham Burke's actually out for this game. The big thing in this game is that Chris Shields is coming back, he is back, but he was missing for the last game of the season in the FA Cup final last year. Him and Jack Byrne have had some great battles in the last couple of games in this, so that's going to be a leveler, if you want to put it that way. I would say home advantage, Shamrock Rovers going to probably slight favourites, but I am predicting a draw. I have a predictions article coming in offtheball.com later on predicting the rest of the games. So far in the last 2 weeks, I've gotten 2 results right out of the 5 results in the first 2 games. So,
hey, look, if you're right 52% of the time, you're wrong 48% of the time. Phil Egan?
Yeah, I'd be leaning towards Rovers just to nick it, but it will be tight. Even thinking back to the cup final where Rovers, I thought, were the better team on the day, but they just couldn't get the breakthrough. And obviously when they did, they were undone by that great goal from Michael Duffy, and they had to wait to the penalty shootout. But yeah, I think it will be tight, but I just fancy Rovers. Doesn't mean that it's early days. If Rovers win, it gives them a 3-point cushion, but it's a long season ahead.
And before we go, what's on Team 33 tonight?
Team 33 tonight, we have a wrap of all the football stories you may have missed over the week.
Like what?
Like the journalist wishing Ole Gunnar Solskjaer a happy birthday. Did you know it was his birthday?
No.
David Beckham's first game as an owner comes up this week.
Yeah. What are they called again?
International Club de Football.
Football
spelled with a F-U-T-B-O-L. They're playing FC Dallas this weekend, and then Kieran Bradley will be in discussing AFC Wimbledon trying to get back to their spiritual home at Plough Lane.
Okay, all that to look forward to on News Talk tonight. Okay, that's our football coverage. Of course, live games on Sunday on Off the Ball. You can look forward to them as well. And we will chat to you next Friday from 12.
The Paddy Power Half Hour on Off the Ball.
With Paddy Power, the greatest football partnership since Jeff and Heskey.